Viva Bukkaha. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 28. Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life, text number 21. Katam nudarakadina. Dharakir varapa vaparayanaha. Vartishyante mayigate. Vinnana vaivo dadau. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Katam, how, nu, indeed, Dharaka, sons, Dina, poor, Dharaki, daughters, Va, or, Aparayana, having no one else to depend on. Vartishyante, will live, Mai, when I, Gate, gone from this world, Vinna, broken, Nava, both, Iva, like, Udadau, in the ocean. King Puranjana continued worrying. After I pass from this world, what will my sons and daughters, who are now fully dependent on me, live and continue their lives? Their position will be similar to that of passengers aboard a ship wrecked in the midst of the ocean. Purport. At the time of death, every living entity worries about what will happen to his wife and children. Similarly, a politician also worries about what will happen to his country or his political party. Unless one is fully Krishna conscious, he has to accept a body in the next life according to his particular state of consciousness. Since Puranjana is thinking of his wife and children and is overly engrossed in thoughts of his wife, he will accept the body of a woman. Similarly, a politician or so-called nationalist who is inordinately attached to the land of his birth will certainly be reborn in the same land after ending his political career. One's next life will also be affected by the acts one performs during this life. Sometimes politicians act most sinfully for their own sense gratification. It is not unusual for a politician to kill the opposing party, even though a politician may be allowed to take birth in his so-called homeland, he still has to undergo suffering due to his sinful activities in his previous life. This science of transmigration is completely unknown to modern scientists. So-called scientists do not like to bother with these things, because if they will at all consider this subtle subject matter and the problems of life, they will see that their future is very dark. Thus, they try to avoid considering the future and continue committing all kinds of sinful activities in the name of social, political, and national necessity. katam nu darakadina darakir vaparayana vartishyante mayigate pinna nava ivodatau. King Puranjana continued worrying, after I pass from this world, how will my sons and daughters, who are now fully dependent on me, live and continue their lives? Their position will be similar to that of passengers aboard a ship wrecked in the midst of the ocean. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yatkripatamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam tam shrimat krishna chaitanya devam vande jagat gurum yasyanukampaya swapi mahapti santaret sukam panchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare. So King Puranjana continues speaking, and actually what he's saying, he's describing his family members as people who have sunk. They are traveling on a ship, and the ship is sinking. And then he's describing how they are like that. They are like citizens who sank into the ocean. Like we see in that picture, in this case it's a devotee. In this case it's a devotee, is he's being rescued by the Lord. But actually this is the condition of everyone in the material world. So he's thinking that his family members are in that condition, but actually he is in that condition. He's dying, he's leaving his body, and he does not know what type of body he is going to get in his next life. This is the crude reality of material life. We do not know what type of body we will get in the next life, isn't it? Do you know exactly what type of body you are going to get? We don't know. Okay, we know through Shastra Chakshus, through the eyes of Shastra, we do know that by the mercy of Krishna, we can attain a higher destination, and by the mercy of especially his pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, his representatives, we may be able to go back, come back to Godhead in this very lifetime. We have the chance, we have the opportunity. But if we really face the subject, we do not know. In the Bhagavatam, we find many examples of changes of body. And in many occasions, the change of body could be against the predictions. Like many times, we predict something, but then the result is very different to what we predict, isn't it? Human beings, we like to make predictions. Like, now we make jokes about 2012. We are talking about the end of the world. No one believes anymore, because there were so many predictions were made which failed that no one really believes that's going to happen. Y2K. Y2K, here in this temple, and I was in New Brajamandala in Spain. I was traveling and preaching in Spain, but many times going to New Brajamandala. And they were keeping chickpeas, big packages, big storage. And these, how you call these beans? White beans and red beans. I don't think I'm inaccurate. I believe they still are eating some of those chickpeas. Are the last of, but it's like how many years? 10 years, they're still eating those chickpeas. So much they were storing. Thinking Y2K, the world is going to collapse. No, they are not keeping any chickpeas for 2012. And maybe it will happen that something, I don't think it will happen. It's happening every day, something, but not necessarily because of the predictions, and then there will be, not be chickpeas. So this is the situation in this world. There are many predictions. I am preparing some lesson plans for a module on preaching strategies. This is for a program that's been taught presently in North America. Anuttama Prabhu is teaching. And then one of the lessons deals with principles and factors that we should consider presently when we design a preaching strategy. Not just preaching activities, like random preaching activities. We throw many seeds, but then we don't have a plan to pull out the weeds. We don't have a plan to follow up on the seeds we have planted, to water them, and then to harvest the fruits. But having a complete strategy, step by step. So I selected one section, Burke Rockford, Professor Burke Rockford, taught a course last year, ISKCON and Society, and he presented an article by one scholar of religion, Rodney Stark, and he's describing 10 factors which are crucial for religions to succeed or to fail, to religious movements or religious organizations. And one of the factors is that they don't propose philosophies which are empirically demonstrable. Should be something that is related to beyond this world, to the transcendental world. And the reason this scholar gives is that many times when religious movements, they made empirical predictions, many times do not happen, and then people lose faith, and then they don't join, or they leave the movement. He gives the example of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Those of you who are a bit, from 40s onwards, older than 40 years old, you may remember that in the 70s, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they were predicting the end of the world. How do you call it? Armageddon. What's the name? Armageddon. Yes, it's the destruction, the apocalypse, yes, the apocalypse. And then there were how many? 144,000 who were going to be saved. And of course, those who will be saved will be the Jehovah's Witnesses. And we will say, those who will be saved will be the Hare Krishnas, of course. I mean, Krishna comes riding on Garuda, and no one else will be saved. This is how we tend to think. So the reason why I'm quoting this point is because many times it's just to face the point that we do not know anything. We do not know anything. Let's face it. We pretend to know many things. Only we know whatever has been taught to us, and what we know many times is plagued by many deficiencies. Like, for example, what we know around the empirical world, this is the perception of our senses. But the perception of our senses are very different of the perception of the senses of, for example, a horse. You see the horse there? When she sees someone, but I mean, I'm thinking, what is she thinking? My interpretation of her call is, give me food. Because there is this sign, do not give food to the horse, because we'll get ill. Did you read that sign? You shouldn't feed the horse because it may die and likes to eat too much. So, but this is probably what, so when he sees a human being, he's not seeing a human being. We think, oh, she likes me so much. But actually she's thinking, that person means food. That's a translation. Potential food giver. So the perceptions, and then we see, for example, how a cat perceives the world. Many times the cats perceiving things we cannot see, the cats are seeing. Hanumat Preshak Maharaj, he likes to talk about ghosts in lectures sometimes, and then he speaks how the cats, they can perceive the ghost. And they look, what they look at, something's passing by. And we are not seeing anything. Witches, they have cats. Because there is some subtle perception is there. More, and witches, they deal with this, the subtle world. So the point is that our perception is very limited. What do we know about the world? We know very little. We are born in ignorance. I'm talking generally, human beings in the age of Kali. Of course, as devotees, we have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and we have Shastra, and we do know something through Shastra. But many times how we read Shastra, how we make many times statements, very statements as if we know when we do not really know what's going to happen. We say, yes, that person quit the body, went back to Godhead. What do we know? Or no, it seems didn't go. We don't really see. Through Shastra, we can say, maybe this, maybe that. This can have happened. And we are interpreting. But what was in the heart of the person? Only Krishna can really see. And we see many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam where the destination, the external destination, was against prediction. For example, Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he was a saintly king, Raja Rishi. The son of Maharaj Rishabhadev, he received the best instructions, we could say in one way, the best instructions ever for a prince. He was an impeccable ruler, a pure devotee of the Lord, situated in Baba Bhakti according to Vaishnavacharyas. Practically, he was practically free from material contamination. But yet, he took birth as a deer. So it was against prediction. Who could imagine that? He had renounced the world, the Bhagavatam says. He renounced the world as a person when goes to the toilet, gives up the stool and urine. No one gets a trauma by getting detached from these things. Everyone feels very rested, very relaxed. isn't it? So he was feeling completely relieved having abandoned his material association. Even though he was ruling in Krishna consciousness, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. But then material nature is so entangling that even such a great personality became attached to a deer because he wanted to protect. He still had the Ishvara Bhava of a king. I am the protector. And this is what Puranjana is expressing here. Who will take care of my wife and my children? They need me. Please, Lord, allow me to live a few years more so I can take care of them. Or the materialistic person who does not believe in God, he may be thinking, endeavoring by himself, going to doctors and trying to do whatever, special diets, and going to therapists, new age people to heal the cancer. You have a cancer, this is because you don't love yourself, and you need to learn how to accept yourself, and then you will get cured of the cancer. Take all kinds of special products to get cured. In order to protect the wife and the children. But here we see actually the foolish living entity does not see that he's already in the fangs of the snake. We are already captured by the snake of time. We're already dead. And we're already dead, totally taken by the snake, like sometimes the snake have like the completely gets a person imprisoned, cannot move, and still he or she wants to protect others. To whom can we protect? Our constitutional nature is to be protected. This is the nature of the soul, to be protected by the Lord. And we can give protection only in as much as we become servants of the Lord. Of course, we can also be instruments of material nature under the modes of nature to so-called protect someone. But it is actually like the protection, the Bhagavatam says, like the protection given in a dream. Sometimes we dream so many things. Every night, not sometimes. Every night we dream so many things regardless of whether we remember them or not. We dream. And we may dream we are protecting, we are taking care of people. But then when we wake up, it's just a dream. So what we do in this material sphere, it is actually just a dream. What happens? The apparent reality, it's a dream. So it means most of the time we are sleeping, we're dreaming, most of the time in life. And the reality, the real life, and this is what the Bhagavatam is teaching, it is the life of the eternal soul, the life of pure devotional service to Krishna. This is what continues. The seva that Bharata Maharaj was performing, this is what's real. But externally, he had to take the body of a deer. He became an animal against all predictions, which shows how the Supreme Lord can be unpredictable. But then, in the body of a deer, he was able to remember. He didn't miss his devotional service. The reality remained. despite the fact that usually, also according to Shastra, usually the body of an animal is taken by one who dies in Tamogun. Also, someone who was at the level of Shuddha Sattva, practically speaking, Bhava Bhakti, according to Vaishnava Acharyas, how could he take the body of an animal? But this is the plan of the Lord, cannot be predicted. Can be predicted to a certain extent, but how accurate we can be? We are minute living entities. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when His Grace Jayananda Prabhu passed away, in the letters he wrote, even though he gave indications, he said you celebrate his disappearance as a great Vaishnava, and he did wonderful service. But in the letters, he quoted Shastra in a way, giving the benefit of the doubt, giving the space that the Lord may do anything. And it depends on what consciousness he gave up his body. So it seems that he went back to Godhead, but also he said, if not, you may have taken birth in a higher planet to continue your life of devotional service, and so on. So we find also other examples, unpredictable. Can you think of another example against all predictions in the Bhagavatam? Change of body. Ajamil, this will be an example in the other way. Someone who was so sinful, we could easily predict this. I mean, this guy is doomed. Isn't it? You will say, this guy is doomed. He's going to hell. The Yamadutas are going to have a good time with him. But then, against all prediction, because he had performed devotional service in his youth, because he took shelter of the holy name of the Lord, even unconsciously, the Lord decided to give mercy to that person. And in that very lifetime, he went back to Godhead. So it took Bharata Maharaj two lifetimes more. It took Ajamil in this very lifetime. So our classifications, the classifications that we made with our mind, many times are very superficial, most of the time. Who is going home back to Godhead? Whoever performs devotional service, that's the mercy of the Lord. That's the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even demons went back to Godhead, because they were in touch with Krishna. Even Putana went back to Godhead. This is the great mercy of the Lord. That even a materialistic person, if he or she contacts the Lord, will get the shelter of the all-merciful Lord. Like today we have the Snana Yatra festival, the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath. I was looking a little bit what Srila Prabhupada wrote about Snana Yatra. And in one of the purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's speaking about the how Lord Jagannath, he was worshipped, originally he was worshipped as the deity Nila Madhava, later on became Lord Jagannath. And the deity Nila Madhava was being taken care of by the Shavaras. And the Shavaras, they did not belong to the Varna Ashram system at all. They were taking care of pigs, hawks, yes. Same thing, no? Hawks, pigs. Synonymous. So they were taking care of those animals. And you can imagine sometimes, I don't know, here in Spain, In Spain, sometimes when you travel on the road, they transport the hogs, and you can feel the smell from far away with the truck that passes. So these type of people were, and they were worshiping Nilamadava. Like sometimes also in, you find people who perform sinful activities and they offer some type of worship to God. For example, in Spain, you have what they call the, in South Spain, that's very typical. They call it the romerias. Romerias. They have big celebrations and they take Mother Mary, the Murti of Mother Mary outside. They have big festival. But then they are performing at the same time all kind of sinful activities. So these Shavaras, they were taking care of hogs. I don't think they were taking care of them just as pet animals, nor to get milk from them. Probably they were killing them. They were doing something not so nice. But somehow, the Lord, all merciful Lord, he was accepting service from them. Why? We don't know. The Lord is very merciful. He's extending himself to the lowest among the conditioned souls to give mercy. Therefore, Lord Jagannath is described as Sri Krishna in his most merciful form, as Sri Krishna. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we discussed yesterday, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. He's Sri Krishna with the feelings of Srimati Radharani. But Lord Jagannath is Sri Krishna himself, by himself, in his most merciful form, extending himself to the lowest among human beings. And actually, I didn't read it in Prabhupada's books, but I heard from some experienced pujaris, Sadhya Shrestha Prabhu, Sri Prabhupada's disciple, came to do a ceremony for the building here in the college 2 years ago. So I think he told me how in India, everyone is allowed to bathe Lord Jagannath in the Snana Yatra ceremony. Of course, I don't know about Westerners, if they really let them in. But the idea is that even if usually only Brahmins can directly bathe the Lord, during the Snana Yatra ceremony, there is mercy for everybody. Everyone can bathe the Lord. So, and this, Prabhupada explains that these worshippers, these descendants of the Shavaras, they are known as the Dayitas, Dayita servants of the Lord. Dayita means one who receives mercy. One who has received doya, mercy of the Lord. So, and they are allowed, for example, after the Snana Yatra bathe in the Leela, the Lord becomes sick for 2 weeks. Here will be shorter, I think. The separation will be just a few days until Ratha Yatra next Saturday. So for 2 weeks, the Lord becomes sick. And then, usually, traditionally in India, in Jagannath Puri, the Dayitas, these low class poor devotees, they take care of the Lord. And they feed him with different juices, fruit juices, which are meant to be like infusions of medicinal herbs so that the Lord will become cured from his cold. He has got a cold during the bathing ceremony. Like now, we have also to be careful here. Sometimes the weather changes very suddenly and we can catch a cold. So this happened in the Leela to the Lord. He catches a cold. So going back to the point we were discussing. We need the mercy of the Lord, and we do not know what's going to happen next. But what we do know is that the Lord is very merciful, and that whatever service we offer to Him will not go in vain. What type of body, whether we go back home, back to Godhead immediately, whether we need 50 more lifetimes, this is up to the Lord. Of course, we shouldn't misuse that to do not endeavor, to do not do our share of the service, because that's the Lord is not, He's merciful, but He's not foolish. As they surrender unto me, I reciprocate with them. So He sees the service of the soul of the devotee. He is very merciful. He can choose to extend Himself beyond what anyone deserves. But also, if we try to cheat, He just will not, He may not say, okay, you are a cheater, I'm a better cheater than you. And he may say, okay, you stay a little longer. I'll use you for something else, to stay a little bit longer. So there are many other examples in the Bhagavatam. Maharaj Chitraketu, he was the king of the Vidyadharas, very advanced devotee. Then he was cursed. He was cursed by Parvati Devi. Parvati Devi, mother nature, material nature, cursed him. By a mistake, which is not very big mistake. He had not ill intention when he was laughing at Lord Shiva when he was giving a class with his wife on his lap. Usually we will also laugh, isn't it? Will not you laugh? Maybe Matajis know, but even Matajis will say, what's this? This is nonsense. This is, isn't it? But we will laugh at it. And then he took birth as a demon Vritra. So his body was the body of a demon, but he was a pure devotee in the body of a demon. So we find so many activities against prediction. Narada Muni, he was Upavarhana, a heavenly citizen. He misbehaved during a yagya. He was cursed by the demigods, the Prajapatis, to take birth as a Shudra. So he takes birth as a son in what we will call a monoparental family. Monoparental family. I don't know if in English that's the term. It's a literal translation from Spanish. So he didn't know who his father was. An extremely unfortunate situation from the material point of view. But then he gets the association of the Bhakti Vedantas. And he follows the instructions of them. And in that very lifetime, he becomes a pure devotee. And when he quits his body, he actually, we could say, took one lifetime more, but actually not. He enters into the body of Mahavishnu, and he enters into the time dimension of Mahavishnu. So it takes one moment to become Narada Muni. He takes birth as the son of Brahma, and he receives, the details are not given when, but he gets the gifts of the Lord, of the Veena instrument. He can travel all over the universe. He's a completely liberated soul. So the, again, the mercy of the Lord coming. How the mercy will come, we do not know. But the mercy will come. If you like to make any comments or questions, please do so. Yes. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. You mean why he took the body of a demon, Vritra? Well, he was very ugly. He was very violent. So externally, he appeared as a demon. He was attacking the demigods. He was about to kill Indradev. So what does that mean? I mean, how do we read this? The fact is that he had the body of a demon. He was the son of, not the son, he appeared from that Yagya, who was Tuashta, who made the Yagya, the father of Bhishvarupa, to avenge the death of his son. And then there was a mistake in the ritual. So instead of, he got a demon, but not exactly the demon he wanted. He got a devotee demon. Yeah, it was a devotee demon. So he wanted a demon, but he got demon devotee. Like we hear, one way of reading is that in the age of Kali, the devotee and the demon live in the same person. So we have the two tendencies. This could be one message for us, that we have divine tendencies on the one hand, devotee tendencies. We're performing devotional service. We do have sometimes or many times that we have to evaluate ourselves, envy, pride, lust, anger, greed. Isn't it sometimes happen these things in the heart, they become manifested? So this is because there is demon and devotee are living in the same person. There is a fight. So okay, he pronounced wrongly the mantra, and the result was that instead he was calling for someone who will be the Indradev's enemy. But actually, the mantra was wrong, and someone appeared as an asura from whom Indra will be his enemy. So Indra was an enemy to Vritra, but Vritra didn't have any ill feeling against Indra. We could say, how is it that he was attacking? Okay, that was his nature. He was attacking, he was created for that. But he didn't have ill feeling. That was the plan of the Lord. Somehow he created him like that. And then actually we see in the conversations between Vritra and Indra, Vritra had to preach Indra to perform his duty, to kill him, and to free him from the body of a demon. Of course, this is very extraordinary, but it's there in the Bhagavatam, so some lesson must be there for us. The Bhagavatam is written for the people of the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, devotee and demon live in the same body. So there must be a message for us. So we should be careful in analyzing on the basis of the externals. The externals many times can be very confusing. And we see, I mean, history also gives us what we perceive. It's very limited. But of course, that's not to say we should, of course, guide ourselves by the what Shastra says and what serve the devotees and take shelter of the mercy of the Lord. This is the most secure path to perform our service and without judging others. Unless we have a service to judge, and even then we should be very careful. Of course, the teacher for training has to be strong, otherwise he's not doing his or her job. So or the king to rule has to be strong also. But yet, be very careful and very respectful, seeing Krishna within the heart of every living being. I don't know, I said many things. I don't know if I answered your question. Did I? Yes, but I mean, we could look at the activities of many of us before joining Krishna consciousness. I mean, many activities are not to be mentioned here. Of all kinds, I mean. If I'll tell you some of my activities in childhood are not to be mentioned here. So, even I joined early, but... what I was doing with animals and ants and very cruel, very, very demoniac. So, I mean, we're not that far, just a few years from the internal perspective, it's nothing. So our perspective, we just see a few years, but the Lord sees beyond that. He sees like a Jamil, from the human perspective, we will say, again, he's finished. But the Lord saw, he performed good service, also in his previous lifetime. Unfortunately, due to that association, he got deviated. So the Lord gave him the mercy. Chose him to reveal his mercy as the holy name of the Lord. Any other questions or comments? I'm not fully sure I'm understanding your question. You say we shouldn't judge when we see someone doing bad activities. Then, not judging means, of course, that doesn't mean we don't use our God-given intelligence and instructions in scripture and through gurus and sadhus. To perform our service the best we can. For example, to select our association. If we see a butcher is killing, the idea of not judging means Of course, we know that's a very cruel, a very, very sinful activity. But, okay, that's all. What's his destiny? We do not know. Some of us were killing before also. So, we do not really see. Like, for example, a person came here not long ago, during the Sai Baba's visit, this big visit, and this man, he was actually working in the industry of meat here in Belgium for many, many years. This is his business. His whole life is about killing animals. He doesn't know to do anything else. At some point of his life, he abandoned killing animals because he got some mystical experience. He didn't abandon killing animals because he understood it was cruel, but just because he got some type of subtle experience and he got the revelation that he was able to cure with his hands. And he was able to cure people. He will put his hands and people will get cured, even cancer and all kinds of things. Anyway, it's a long story, his life. I will not tell you the whole thing. But at some point, he lost the power because he misused the power instead of for doing it for healing. He decided to misuse the power to attack someone who took away his wife and who now was taking away his son. And then he got blocked, and he again went to the meat industry, and he was going through so many problems. But here he was chanting the holy name because he had received some mantra. Someone gave him a mantra he was using. He was healing through a mantra. So here we gave him the Maha Mantra. And he was chanting with great intensity. We do not know what's his destination. He has taken shelter of the holy name of the Lord. And when we gave him prasadam the first time, he was surprised. No meat for him was like I am in a different planet. What's this? No meat. He couldn't understand how you can eat like that. But he ate, he chanted the holy name, and he said he will come back. So that's the point I want to make. We cannot judge. And of course, if we see someone doing good activities, we shouldn't say, okay, yes, look at him, yes. No, you, sannyasi, let's see, in 10 years, you may be doing something else, you may go to hell. We shouldn't misuse him. We shouldn't judge either way. We should see the good in others, whoever they are. Yes, we should see the soul, and we should see the Lord within the soul. Every soul belongs to Krishna. A material nature who pushes the souls to perform sinful activities also acts under Krishna's direction. We shouldn't forget that. And if someone is misbehaving due to the influence of the lower modes of nature, we should be compassionate seeing that person now is not serving Krishna. So we should be compassionate, not be, oh, look at him, and I'm better than him. And if we don't act like that, we do not get away. Like even the Yadus were destroyed. They were destroyed, Krishna's personal family members. Of course, this is Lila, and this is the Lord is showing, according to our acharyas, he's showing us detachment by this Maushalya Lila, destroying his own dynasty. But the message is that whoever does it, he pays it. It's not okay. We are in Srila Prabhupada's dynasty, we could say, comparing. We are the descendants of Srila Prabhupada. But that doesn't mean that whatever we do, we will get away. If we misbehave, we will be destroyed. This happened with the Yadus. If we follow Prabhupada's instructions, we will be protected. If we don't follow, we will be destroyed. This is what Shastra says. So, anyway, it's not simplistic. We should see more deeper than the apparent reality. That was kind of the one important aspect of the message. Mother Lakshmi. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Just for the sake of clarification, when I'm saying that we will be destroyed, I didn't mean on a personal level, because during the discussion, at least I'm mentioning just for clarification, that it was mentioned how the Bhagavatam says whatever devotional service is performed, it is not lost. So that will, on an individual level, that's no problem. I was talking more on a community level. When we just take for granted, we are going to make it. We're going to make it if we do a good job, if we follow Shastra, and if we follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. But if we don't, we will not make it. Krishna will bring someone else who will do it, whoever those are. Anyway, I'm speaking very openly because I think this should be spoken sometimes. Otherwise, we take it just to wake up to reality. We become too comfortable, too relaxed. We need to wake up and we need to do the job. Srila Prabhupada wanted wanted devotees to preach Krishna consciousness, to share Krishna consciousness with others. And if we take it for granted, I just chant a little and do a little service here and there, that may not be enough to go back to Godhead. It may take us 200 lifetimes or 2,000 lifetimes. We need to do a little bit more in order to go back to Godhead. And in order to establish Srila Prabhupada's movement as he wanted, we may need to do more than we are doing. I don't want to undermine the wonderful service so many devotees are doing around the world, here in this beautiful community and in many other places. Still, I think we need to do more. If we take an analysis of our history as a community and Srila Prabhupada's expectations, we have a lot of work to do. We have work. And charity starts at home individually, and then, of course, when we do it individually, we can also work together and do a good offering as a team for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas. But I apologize if I speak too strong and at some point and offended anybody. Sometimes I get a bit, from Spain, get a bit fiery, so it's... Is it ready, everything for... So we start right away. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Snana Yatra Mahotsava ki jai.